This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
We thank God, that is, we say Allah in the language of the Quran, our holy book. We thank Allah for our presence here, and we trust Him with our thoughts and with our intentions. And we pray that He always guide us and protect us from errors or from ignorance. We witness that He is one and He cares about all of His creation, everything that He has made in the skies and the earth, and He cares especially about His human creation, the creation of the human family on this planet earth. We are one family, as God says to us in our scriptures, that He made us from one soul, and He made of that soul two, a male and a female, and from them all men and women that populate the planet Earth. So we are forced to take seriously in these times, we are forced to take seriously our identity as a human family. Human beings are all one family, and the world was made big enough to accommodate all of us and to give us our needs, food, clothing, shelter, movement, exercise, pleasure for our souls and pleasures for our curious minds, intellects. But all that has changed now. We are running out of space. Too many people have populated the earth, and we are closing in on one another. We can no longer afford to ignore the existence of other members in the family. The world is becoming one world order, as they say. For some, that order may be an economic order. For some, it may be a political order. But for us, it's a community order. We are becoming one community where we have to care about each other, be considerate of each other, and work for the betterment of the whole family, and be willing to make sacrifices, that is, not to have it all for ourselves, but to share with those who don't have. We have transportation has progressed so much that we can connect almost within 24 hours, no matter where we are on this planet Earth, we can connect. Whereas in the past, not too many generations behind us, it took months and sometimes years, depending on your mode of travel, to reach the place you wanted to reach across the ocean or across the land, if the land was wide and spacious like Asia and some other lands that we are aware of. It would take months of travel before we could connect with the person we wanted to see or talk to. All that has changed. Scriptures, both our scripture, the Quran, the scripture of Muslims, and the scriptures of the Christian, the Bible, the Holy Bible, and the Holy Quran, both these books, they tell us of a time coming, and when we look at this time that we're living in, if we have any sense at all, we'll say the time has arrived. And what is this time? It is a time that will draw people together and will force people to respect the rights of their neighbors, a time when we will not be able to escape our actions or hide our doings. We will not be able to live on an island and dominate that island and mistreat the natives of that island, and it be secret or remain secret for as long as we live. No, if you do something on an island now, one of these major networks will know about it, and pretty soon they all will be reporting it on the 6 o'clock news. So we can't hide from each other. We are brought into one big living room where we can turn on our television and see what's going on everywhere in the world. So the time for us to become more human. Now, isn't this something? The time for us to become more human is right now. Time when we need to become more human in our thinking, more human in our feelings, more human in our planning for our future, more respectful of others while we are planning our future, more respectful of the future of others and how what we are doing is going to affect them. So this time is here. That every tub must sit on its own bottom. I know some of you Christians remember that. Every man will have to sit under his own vine and fig tree. These are Christian sayings, you know. And the Quran says there's going to come a time when man is going to have to face all that he has done. Now, most of us think this is after we are buried and put it in the physical ground, you know, and put away for good forever. No, not necessarily. Whatever God tells us of our life, the nature of our life, and how our life is made to respond to the environment and to one another, whatever God is telling us in that focus is not just for the spiritual kingdom to come after the physical is done away with, but it's also for the spiritual life while we live on this physical earth. That these things are going to happen. God is saying, no matter what man does, bad and good, and no matter how ignorant he may be of God's plan, and God's plan we mean how God planned the natural order and how he planned the human order and how they affect one another and what conclusions there are in the future according to the plan of God, according to God's plan. This is what we mean by God's plan, what God has ordered. Yes, so no matter what we do, you know, and we do sometimes do our best and we have good intentions, but it was not to last for long because it couldn't anticipate natural progression. Nature is progressing at the same time we are progressing. Nature is progressing. We belong to nature, not only to our own thinking. We belong to nature. So we plan and we find that later on these things we plan are no good for families in the neighborhood. We have to change the whole plan. Reorder. We scrap that plan, you know, and tear things down and build all over again. But God knows ahead of time because God planned it all when he planned natural world and the human world. When he planned the two worlds of man and the natural order, he knew exactly and he knows exactly what's going to be the conclusion of these things. So we're going to ask you to, if you are sensitive and if you care, we're going to ask you to make a commitment. Just make a commitment. Make a commitment to yourself, a private commitment. Say, I'm going to start working toward being more mindful of others and how I'm affecting others while I'm planning how I want to live and how I want to advance my life. So just make a vow. You know, we may not get but 1 out of 100. You'd be surprised what 1 out of 100 can do. Sometimes it only takes 1 out of 1,000 can change the whole land. Change the whole land, you know? So let us make a vow that we are going to try to be more considerate of how we're affecting others with our own life and our own plans. And believe me, it's an urgency on us to do that. Yes. You know, I remember good old Southern parents, they raised their children very well. They would tell us, don't make a mess. See, even if you don't mind being in that mess, be considerate of the next person. They don't want that mess in the house, or they don't want to have to face that mess, you know? So we have to be more considerate. The urgency is on us, I repeat, to be more considerate. What does it take? And all of us need a little more exercise than we're getting, you know? Very few are getting enough exercise. How much do we have to spend when we walk into a nice store in our neighborhood and we see trash that some person that didn't care and wasn't thinking just dropped a big piece of trash there, maybe left the chicken and the bones and everything right there in the doorway, and we'll step over there, get around or something, and go right on in there? That's unconscious living. And God never made human beings for unconscious living. He made us for conscious living. And he'll punish us if we don't respect our good conscience, you know? So what does it take to take it up off the ground? If you can't, don't see a trash basket. Say, this was hurting your customers as they're trying to come into your door. Say, you have a place for me to put this trash, sir or ma'am? You know, how much does it take? Just a little bit. So if all of us would just try to be more conscious. Space, living space, is very important. It can change the way you feel. It can hurt your work day. You in a living space all cluttered up. God made you in your spiritual composition just like he made the sky above us. The sky is orderly. It ain't got trash all over it. It's an orderly sky with things look like perfectly arranged. If you study it scientifically, you can't find hardly any flaws in it. Then it seems to keep that pattern, just hold to the pattern. A beautiful, orderly sky above our heads. Now, I don't want to live up there. I want to live down here. But let's take the message of order from up there and incorporate it into our lives down here. Let us love order again, like the old folks used to tell us. Keep those things in order. I was a little young man, and I was studying Arabic, and the teacher gave us an Arabic primer, although I was a teenager at the time, about 15 years old maybe. He gave us an Arabic primer, and we were learning how to read and speak Arabic from this little primer. And one of the stories in the book was about parents teaching their children how to be responsible for their own possessions. And it said, "Da' kulli shay'in fi mahalli." Put everything in its proper place. I said, I heard that before. In fact, I got hit once by mama for not doing that. Well, the world needs this common intelligence that we should all have, but we lose it because of a hustle and bustle world, taking our attention from important things just to make it through the day, to have a check at the end of the week or end of 2 weeks, you know, or a month or whatever. So the world is putting a lot of demands on us to work for non-human things, inhuman things. So if you're spending all of your time trying to manage the burden of your relationship with machines and typewriters and other machines, you know, and going to the store to get something to eat, not to enjoy it, but just to survive. Because when you want something, the average person now, when they want to enjoy it, they go to a nice restaurant. But what you go and shop for most of the time in the store is just something for you to survive, just to help you survive. Oh, I need some this, I need some that, I need some that. So you put it in there. And you don't have no time to cook it, Harley, so most of the stuff you get is already pre-cooked or cooked, you know. You don't have time to cook. You're working a job and a half or two jobs, you know. The best you could do is look at the washroom and keep going, you know. Yeah, so your time is just taken by the world of physical things that are not human. And that can take away all of your natural human life if you don't work consciously on preserving it. You have to work consciously on preserving it. So we should understand that we live in a new time when the human beings are all being brought together. And we are challenged more now than at any other time by the need to stay a family and stay loving and caring about one another. And we should begin at home. As we are told, charity begins at home and spread abroad. That's the same message for Muslims in Islam. Charity starts at home and spread abroad. So start right in our homes and say, we share this space. And nobody's conscious in here but me. So I'm going to be the one picking up trash, putting it in the trash can or whatever. I'm going to be the one cleaning the mirror in the washroom, washing the soap dish, cleaning the soap dish, mopping the floor if I have to, until somebody else wakes up in this house. You know? We have to be prepared to make big sacrifices. The time is just that urgent. If you would care more about each other, you save money. If you don't care about each other, you're going to have a mental case in the family if you don't already have one. There's going to be a mentally sick person pretty soon in that family if you don't care about each other. So we have to care about each other. And caring about each other brings us closer together, brings us to love one another. A lot of us are suffering because we don't believe we are loved. Every time I see Mama, she's running out the door. And I can't get her to talk to me. She can't even talk to me. She's too much in her hair all the time. And Daddy is the same. I can't hardly talk to him. He's gone. Daddy's not here most of the time. Conditions like that can drive people to be deranged psychologically, be deranged mentally. Yes. So let's stop and make great big sacrifices. I asked you on one of the first Sundays just recently to consider, if you're unemployed, consider donating your time. You got time. You ain't employed. So, donate your time to your neighbor next door who's working and doesn't have enough time to take care of his yard. Doesn't have enough time to walk his dog. Doesn't have enough time to paint his house. So tell him, I got plenty of time. Can you buy the paint, sir? If you buy the paint, I'll do it. And he might say, man, are you crazy? Say, no, but I was talking to a fella, and he said, idleness can drive me crazy. And so for my own health, will you permit me to do some work for you? You don't have to pay me, unless you want to, you know? We have to come to that kind of mind, you know. And God is with us. Don't ever think God is not with us. In both religions, we are told, don't think God is not hearing you. God is always here. And don't think he's far away. He's always near. This is the teaching of our books, our holy books, the books of the Christians and the books of the Muslims. So don't never think God is not near and not aware and not caring about you. He's always caring about you. But if he didn't care about you, you wouldn't have made it this far. Because justice would take all of us out. Yes? You don't want justice. Believe me. You want mercy. Yeah, justice would take all of us out. There's nobody around here. So just know that God is always caring about us, and let us strive to give more of ourselves to others. I heard a man tell a woman once, she said, well, I don't have anything anymore. All my children gone. And I'm just lonesome all by myself. And I am miserable. And he said, well, what do you think you should do? Well, if I just had my children now, if I just had somebody with me that cared about me, say, well, miss, why don't you go and care about somebody else? Say, just go out and find you somebody to care about. Find somebody like you or worse off than you and care about them. And that was the answer. Once the person did that, she was telling her story as she told it to be. She said how her life was just changed. Because she stopped thinking about her own problems and miseries, and she started looking for others to assist in their situations. Yes, and God is with us when we want to do good by others. But if we don't care about others, God will leave us alone. You know anything? You don't have anybody with you? Nobody caring about you. Because you stop caring about others. So don't follow the ways of the world. The ways of the world are never to be followed by those who want to be successful in life. And when I say the world now, I mean the visible world. When you walk out of your house and you walk down the street, down the neighborhood, walk through the neighborhood, and you see people look like they're healthy and people look like they're sick. You see people look like they're sane and people look like they're insane. You see people look like they're lost and out to do harm, to hurt somebody. You see all of this in the public eye. Then when you turn on television, you see a picture of the public life, and they show the public life, most of the time they show the public life as a life of hustle and bustle, fast living, living for sensual pleasures, or pleasures are connected with sex. And even if it's a dance, you can tell by the dance is communicating sexuality or sexual promiscuity, sexual indecency. The dance and the life is awful. Even the way they dress, the way the people that dress that show on TV says that we are more sex than anything else, you know? So that singer, he sang a song, a sexual healing. Well, he sure needed now. Now, he said those words, it's been years ago. Sexual healing. Yeah, well, that's what the society needs. It needs a sexual healing because we are making the sex organ bigger than the brain and everything else. Giving it more rule in our life than we give our heart and our intelligence, you know? Yeah. So we are just messed up. And the average one, even the one that looks to be seen to be successful, the average person that appears to be successful, has been made a slave of sexuality. Yes, just a slave of sexuality. So we have to turn this thing around. And we will. We will. We don't have to turn it around for everybody. Turn it around for a few. A few can bring about a change. All it takes is a few. A special few can bring about a change. In fact, Margaret Mead said that's the only way it ever happens. It's always a special few that brings about a change. You know, for Muhammad the Prophet himself, he began with just himself and a companion, Abu Bakr, may God be pleased with him, peace be on our Prophet, and a few others collected around him, and just a handful of people gave the others the leadership that they needed to turn their world around. And the world of the idol worshippers, pagans they call now, were turned around. The infighting that was going on, tribes fighting each other, all that came to an end. No more fighting each other. They united for the betterment of their society. All that happened within about 10 years, 10 or 11 years. Because for the whole time of the Prophet's life working was about 20 years. And the first 10 years or 11 years was hard life for him and his followers. Because he was persecuted, they were trying to get him to give up his mission, to give up the religion. But he survived it, and he had about 10 years of actually working without the problem of wars, persecution and wars. And in that time, he established a society that eventually became the leaders in education, the leaders in science, and the leaders in education. The leaders in civilization. They became that. And just 20 years, half of it given to just surviving against the persecutors, and the other half building, doing the work. It may take longer for us because I don't think any prophet or any saint or any other creature ever existed on this planet or ever had life on this planet, ever saw what we are seeing today. And believe me, the prophets foresaw that. The great prophets foresaw that. The prophets of Judaism, or the prophet of the Jews, Christians, and the Muslims, and our prophet Muhammad of the Muslims, they all saw it. They saw that a time was coming that would be much more difficult than their time. And they saw a time that was coming that was going to open up bigger opportunities for success in the life of religion than any other time. And we have lived to see all of that. We have come to all of that. And we have come to a time when just common life is so taxing, so burdensome, very difficult just to manage common life, you know. But we've also come to a time when so many opportunities are open to us. If you really take advantage of the opportunities that are open to you, you can, look, we have media now that can reach millions and hundreds of millions of people, billions of people. We can reach them. Their dawa, they had to go on a horse and travel to the next population to preach, you know, with the message. Now all we need is enough money to get on television, and we can speak to millions and millions, billions of people. So the advantage is much better. And then education has grown so much. Common knowledge back then was much beneath common knowledge in this time. You know, we're the most intelligent generation this earth has produced. Yes, high intelligence, great intelligence, bright, brilliant minds. And I mean educated, knowing a lot. Back then, it's hard to find someone knowing how to read letters, knowing how to read a book. But now, education is public and everything, and books are everywhere. We have so many newspapers, you just can't read them all. So the time has favored our generation more than it favored any other generation before us. And the time has taxed or burdened this generation more than any generation before. If we could just think, you know, there was an African-American, kind of philosopher, also was an activist, civil rights activist, a lawman, but he was a philosopher, activist and a philosopher more than any other thing, is W.E.B. Du Bois. And he said to his people in his day, he said, we will progress in the measure that we are willing to teach our children to think. Now, you know, thinking used to be important. I used to hear parents say, are you thinking? Now we don't even ask, you know. We don't, thinking is just, it's not important anymore, forgotten. That activity, you know, thinking. I guess it's because we're thinking about too so much, we're thinking so much on the wrong thing, I guess nobody wants you to think. So we're busy thinking on the wrong thing, that's for sure. But we need to think. And what W.E.B. Du Bois meant was, he meant think life. Yeah. Think intelligence. Yeah. Think progress for your people. Yeah. That's the kind of thinking he was talking about, you know? If we will only teach our children to think, what does God tell us in our holy book, the Quran? He said, think. Yeah. For thinking certainly brings you profits. Like think. For thinking surely brings profits, or brings you profits. Really, the progress of man begins with the thinker, right? Yes, man was lost among the animals. But then there came the thinker, and he just sat down and he began to think. And he thought on the order of the heavens, and he thought on what was going on down on earth for human life. And he was inspired to want to know, why are these things ordered like this?
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.